In the primary audio program, Dr. Jordan Berlin commented on colorectal cancer, but I also asked him about cancer of the pancreas, and he began by commenting on a study in advanced disease.
I think one of the most important papers that came out was the gemcitabine-capecitabine versus gemcitabine alone trial from Royal Marsden in England. And this trial was originally presented several years ago at ASCO and then had a long hiatus. It was presented as a positive trial, had a long hiatus, and came out as a negative trial in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. The trial did not meet its primary endpoint of overall survival benefit for gemcitabine plus capecitabine. The concerning thing to me about the paper was that they added on a combined analysis that they called a meta-analysis with two other trials randomizing gemcitabine, capecitabine versus gemcitabine alone. The regimens in all three trials were very different, and the fact was that all three trials were negative, but they felt that their combined analysis proved that the regimen was positive. However, the benefit looks, in terms of hazard ratio, not even as good as gemcitabine or erlotinib, which has a randomized trial that was positive. So gemcitabine and capecitabine is really not a therapy for pancreas cancer. Gemcitabine is, and second-line capecitabine could be considered, but the combination probably is not overly effective, and you're just adding toxicities based on the three randomized trials, one of which was only randomized phase two.
You were involved in a couple of papers from the ASCO GI meeting or GI symposium in pancreatic cancer, or actually one was looking at erlotinib and cetuximab, and the other looking at sorafenib and erlotinib. Can you kind of summarize what they looked at and what was seen?
So our erlotinib cetuximab trials in colorectal, well, it's actually a phase one trial right now, so it's general cancers that are eligible for an EGFR inhibitor, meaning RAS wild type right now. It's a phase one trial, and what happened was both our laboratories, Dr. Coffey at Vanderbilt and the laboratories of Jose Baselga in Spain, have shown that what was surprisingly true was that combined inhibition with a TKI and an antibody appeared to be more effective than either alone in colorectal cancer cell lines. And actually, a gefitinib plus cetuximab trial reported by the Spanish group looked very promising with response rates over 30% presented at AACR a few years ago. So this was designed as a trial to look similarly at cetuximab and erlotinib. And we have identified a similar problem to what they did. With the initial loading dose of cetuximab, the toxicities were too much to get up to full doses of erlotinib. But by getting rid of the loading dose, starting with the maintenance dose, we did better. We also did some mouse modeling at the same time and actually showed that probably giving the erlotinib prior to the cetuximab would be beneficial. But the problem is after the first dose of cetuximab, the half-life is so long that you're no longer going to be giving erlotinib prior to cetuximab. So while an intriguing laboratory observation, it may not be a particularly useful clinical application, but still, we've been able to do that, and we've been able to look at imaging correlates and are now looking at FLT-PET, FLT-PET in our study. Our erlotinib and sorafenib trial was based on a couple of external reports in the literature for preclinical data suggesting that that may be a synergistic or at least additive combination of targeted agents. Since a lot of our patients in our area are not receiving erlotinib first-line therapy in pancreas cancer, especially since our clinical trial first-line doesn't include it, we thought that would be an intriguing second-line regimen. And unfortunately, the data is still too early. We had a little bit of problems that despite them having a very good phase one trial showing full-dose erlotinib and sorafenib is possible, it's not possible in pancreas cancer patients from what we can tell. And we had to lower the dose of the sorafenib, and it's now more tolerable, and patients are staying on the regimen longer. So we still don't have the efficacy data on this.
How do you approach systemic therapy in the first and second line setting for pancreatic cancer?
Well, of course, our preference is clinical trial. Philip always says that every patient with pancreas cancer should be on a clinical trial. With the results we get, I agree with him. But of course, practically, it's not always possible. And so off clinical trial, we favor gemcitabine or erlotinib because those are the two with randomized data for first line therapy. We tend to use a lot more gemcitabine alone, to be frank. But for those patients who wish to be a little bit more aggressive and want to have a combined therapy, we have data for gemcitabine or erlotinib as being a little bit more aggressive and being a little bit more effective. For second-line therapy off-clinical trial, again, we have a clinical trial open, but we would use FOLFOX off-clinical trial. There was nice data from the CONCO group in Germany, CONCO-03, which really showed that oxaliplatin 5-FU using a weekly 24-hour infusion 5-FU regimen was better than 5-FU alone in the second-line setting, and that was in terms of progression-free survival and overall survival. So that data is intriguing enough that we feel that an oxaliplatin-based regimen is worthwhile, and we, of course, have had to work to get the oxaliplatin approved at times by the insurance companies.
Can you talk about what we know about nab-paclitaxel in pancreatic cancer and what your thoughts are in terms of where this might be heading?
Well, so the nab-paclitaxel trial is a very exciting trial, I think, in many ways. This is a trial that looked at nab-paclitaxel or Abraxane chemotherapy in combination with gemcitabine. It was phase one with an enrichment cohort, or phase 1-2, depending on how you want to call it. And the intriguing thing about it was the patients at the phase 2 dose really had a greater than 15-month median survival at the time of the analysis presented last year. And there is a target, this SPARC, that predicts for better efficacy. There is some theoretical data and some laboratory data that would suggest that the nab-paclitaxel may affect the stroma of the pancreas cancer. And this is an area that hasn't been well studied. The stroma of pancreas cancer is unique and is very interactive with the tumor, probably leading to a poor prognosis when there is a significant stroma. And so affecting the stroma, as they may be doing with the nab-paclitaxel, can result in a better efficacy because of possibly interfering with the stroma, possibly improving the gemcitabine delivery based on this interference with the stroma, or possibly interfering with the stroma's interaction with the tumor to make it more aggressive. However that's happening, that would be a good theoretical reason why the nab-paclitaxel looked so good. We have been burnt before by good results on a phase 2 trial showing later in a phase 3 trial not to be effective, but certainly this is the most promising phase 2 trial we've seen, and so I'm very hopeful to see the data from the phase 3 trial that's ongoing.
What's the actual design and eligibility for the phase 3 study?
Well, the phase 3 trial, from what I understand, I'm not participating in that, is a randomized, obviously large randomized phase 3 of gemcitabine versus gemcitabine plus nab-paclitaxel. And I understand it's a 1-to-1 randomization, and it's for metastatic disease only, is what I'm told.
You mentioned that your usual first-line therapy for pancreatic cancer is gem alone. How do you approach it in terms of whether it's a standard or fixed dose?
We tend to use the standard dose. Certainly, it's reasonable to use the fixed dose rate. The ECOG trial that randomized patients to gemcitabine standard versus gemcitabine fixed dose rate versus gemcitabine plus oxaliplatin did not show a statistically significant benefit for doing the fixed dose rate gemcitabine, though there was a one-month numerical difference in median survival, and there was a hazard ratio that favored the fixed dose rate gemcitabine, but again, the statistics were borderline. Although the p-value was less than 0.05, it was not less than 0.025, which was a level of statistical significance for that trial. The fixed dose rate infusion added hematologic toxicity more than anything else, which of course patients aren't necessarily symptomatic with, but you are trading off some toxicity by going to the fixed dose rate gemcitabine. So we tend to favor the regular gemcitabine. These patients don't really want to be in the chemo room more time than they have to be, so we're happy to give them the shorter and standard infusion.
Any new research leads in pancreatic cancer that you feel optimistic about?
Well, I think there are some intriguing areas, similar areas to other diseases. Again, the question is, can you affect the stroma? And certainly Sonic Hedgehog is a target that may affect the stroma also. That may be a very important target to look at in locally advanced or even the adjuvant setting, more so even than in the metastatic setting, but probably also worthwhile to look at in the metastatic setting. Notch tends to be a target in pancreas cancer, or appears to be a target in pancreas cancer. So looking at gamma secretase inhibitors, which are one step away from Notch inhibition, would also be intriguing. Obviously, it'd be nice to have a true Notch inhibitor. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, RAS, is still not targeted. While we don't know that RAS inhibition would produce a miraculous change in the efficacy of our treatments in pancreas cancer, one has to think that RAS targeting would be important considering how high a percentage of patients have RAS mutations in their tumors. it seems like a very intriguing target. There are others who believe, and I don't disagree with them, that when you look at the data from the Hopkins group of how many changes happen in gene mutations and gene expression in the pancreas cancers, that maybe a more broad approach, things like HSP90 inhibitors that have, or even possibly HSP70, that have this broad effect on a lot of different targets, may be more the way to go than a couple of key targeted areas. And we'll have to see how that works out.
What are some of the common questions that oncologists in community-based practice ask you about pancreatic cancer?
Why we can't do better is the biggest one. I mean, this has been a tough disease in an era where hepatocellular renal cell and melanoma have all had very exciting results. We're still looking for our exciting results, and I think GemNab paclitaxel was the most exciting thing we've seen in a while, but the reality is that we haven't had a huge breakthrough. I think this is a tough disease. I think the paucity of ability to get tissue, the inability to really affect the tumor, to make it shrink, has made it very disappointing in terms of our results and has, I think, turned people off from pancreas cancer research, but I think it's still real important. Our patients need us to do the research. Having said that, as soon as you open up a pancreas cancer trial, there are patients there, and there are patients who are interested in going on trial, and there are a lot of physicians involved in clinical trials in pancreas cancer, so I think everybody's motivated to see an improvement. But that's the biggest question I get.